Amen. Amen. What a service. Amen. Choir, you did an awesome job. And I'm going to say today how proud I am of our church. This has been an awesome week. It's been a busy week, but Vacation Bible School was a blessing. And then the C3s just outdid themselves yesterday with the miles from Michelle. I heard that Aaron Rich ran 83 miles. Is that right? 83 miles. I was impressed that Sherry walked 10. I told him I ran down to Littleton to get a haircut, and I came back, and then I walked, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'm going to be quick. July is going to be an unusual month in our church. So how's that, preacher? Well, you're going to get some surprises. I've got some testimonies lined up. And so that means short sermons and long testimonies. But we're going to hear from some people. You know why I'm doing this? I want everybody to get to know each other. I think it's very important that you learn who some of our older folks are. So I've asked some older folks and some younger folks to share with us. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, and inerrant word. American Idol, the idols of freedom, the idols of freedom. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge, knowledge puffed up, but charity or love edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. And if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the offering or the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that we called gods, they're called gods, and whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. But to us there is but one God, the Father, whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol until the hour eat. If as a thing of offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defended, or defiled, I'm sorry. But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat or are we the better, neither if we eat are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours be a stumbling block to them that are weak. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I pray for your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Once a people view themselves as their highest authority, whatever their most value is becomes their God. I want you to listen very carefully. I want you to just recognize the fact that we're in the Lord's house this morning, and something I want to say that is very important to you as a church. The lights of our freedom are being blown out. And folks, you are the people that's going to make the difference. If we don't realize this, we're doomed. And we're also dumb. If we don't understand that something is happening, a transition is taking place. Once a people view themselves as their own highest authority, whatever they most value becomes their God. And that God will rule their nation. And indeed, such a nation will even take good God-given liberties and turn them into tyrannical idols. Communism did this with equality. Liberalism did this with liberty. And when we make freedom our utmost value, we effectively make it our God. Freedom is like a car that you can drive in a good direction or you can drive in a bad direction. That's why George Washington and John Adams said their form of government worked well among a virtuous people, but less well among an unvirtuous people. When freedom becomes the only value proclaimed in our classrooms and movies are made of and 4th of July speeches are made, it soon will colonize everything. We lose the ability to distinguish between a just freedom and an unjust freedom. We have nothing to say to the woman who wants to abort her child. There's no other publicly, There is no other publicly satisfying moral language left. And so it's very important that you hear this today. Don't take this lightly. The text here, yes, is something that maybe is not relevant about meats being offered to idols. We question its relevance, but the issue serves a bigger principle of freedom and responsibility. Maybe if Paul wrote today, he would start like this. Now, concerning whether you vote Democrat or Republican. Or maybe he would write, now concerning whether you should drink alcoholic beverages. What am I free to do as a Christian? Am I free to do as I please? I think not, because the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required, and we have responsibilities. I only have 2 points real quickly. Number one, knowledge without love. That's what Paul is talking about. Notice he said, now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we have knowledge. Knowledge puffed up, but love edifies. Knowledge can become an idol without love. Knowledge alone will make one he will be so engrossed in it. And I've seen people like this who think they know it all. Aren't you offended by someone who just thinks they know everything? I don't like people like that. People can be conceited easily because of knowledge. Let me give you some things real quick. Knowledge without love. He talks about light, I believe, because he says we know that we have knowledge. What Paul is saying is God's people, we've come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. We have light. That does not mean that we know everything, but we have a relationship with the one who knows everything. And he is light. And the Bible says, Jesus said it best, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In light of Christian liberty, there must be limitations. Liberty is limited. Our freedoms become idols when we leave Christ out of our lives. You've heard of people say, and I've heard people say this, they're full of pride saying, well, hey, it's a free country, I'll do what I please. But that's not what freedom is. You know, I thank God for those who bought our freedom, and they paid a dear price. And you and I have got to understand something, that God holds us accountable if we're going to remain a free nation. We've got to know the light. Listen to me. I'm going to give you something this morning. You're going to learn something today that I guarantee you don't know. I'm going to give you something today that's going to shock you, because I'm going to prove to you today that the Statue of Liberty is not the real symbol of freedom. It's not really the symbol. I know we just heard the song. You can say you're going to preach about the cross. Well, let me ask you this, because I'm going to show you a little video in just a second. How many of you know what the Matrix of Liberty is? Raise your hand. You ever heard of the Matrix of Liberty? Not a hand. Well, that's great, because I'm going to step out today and do something that's really out of my comfort zone. It's going to be out of yours. We're not having service Wednesday night, but we're going to start teaching on Wednesday night using Kirk Cameron, who's made this video on the Matrix of Liberty. You know what I'm talking about? No? Well, we're going to get there. I'm going to show you a clip in just a few minutes, but I want you to understand something. That truly is the Statue of Liberty. It's in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And I'd really like to get out of my comfort zone that by the time we teach all this, which will be about 12 weeks on Wednesday night, I'd like for us to take a bus. If not, Sherry and I will go to Plymouth, Massachusetts. I want to go and see, because I didn't know nothing about this. It's a series. I founded it Lifeway that Kirk Cameron has done on this the Matrix of Liberty. We have knowledge, and that's what the Matrix of Liberty is about, because this lady, whose name Faith, holds this Bible that's open. We have the truth. We have come to the knowledge of the truth. We have light. And church, listen to me carefully. If we don't hold this light up high, the liberals will continue to blow the lights of freedom out. There's a lot of liberal people today that think, well, I can do as I please. But God holds us all accountable. The lights of freedom in America are being blown out. And I, for one, refuse to allow that to happen. I'm still counting on you 19 men plus that stood behind me and said, preacher, I'll seek God, I'll serve God, and I'll sacrifice for God. We're going to talk a lot about that later on. Loss. You see it in verse 2. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing. yet as he ought to know. Paul knew that this freedom in Christ and this light of knowledge could easily be abused. He immediately draws a sharp contrast. We have knowledge, but if there is a man who thinks he really knows completely and finally, he has not the first element of knowledge. In fact, there's a lot of people that know about God, but they don't know God. They don't really know it. There's a lot of people here today, and I say a lot, because I see all the distractions. We can't give God our attention for even a few seconds, because you know why? There is an emptiness in us. There really is. We don't have a heart for the things of God anymore. It's like we have become a nation that's lost. I climbed up into the Statue of Liberty. I'll tell you what's in it. Nothing. It's empty. The Matrix of Liberty that I'm going to show you in a minute has everything in it. In fact, oh me, if I can remember this, 183 tons. The biggest piece of granite on the face of the earth is in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And that is truly, for Americans, a Statue of Liberty. I'll give it to you in a minute. We're lost without God. Many have knowledge of God, but they're without a relationship. That is the definition of lostness. And then love. I'm going to give you that, because he says, if any man love God, the same is known of him in verse 3. But look back at verse 1. Knowledge is puffed up, but love builds up. If it's puffed up, then it cannot build up. Love puts value to knowledge. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, without love, you are nothing. If love is the motive of speech, if love is the motive of the foretelling of the will of God, if love is that which investigates the mysteries in order to understand, if love is the power of faith, if love lies behind the act of benevolence, then these things are of supreme value. But without it, they are noise, excitement of no value at all. In other words, without love, you're nothing. And Paul was saying, yes, it really don't matter whether you eat this meat or not. What matters is that you love one another. And church, we all get caught up in rules and regulations. And I'm pretty much up to here in my life of having to deal with all this, that people want to be so legalistic in their walk with God. Folks, if you don't have love of God and love of brother and sister, you are nothing. You're not a church. You're just a social gathering who wants to follow certain rules and regulations. I've seen churches that had rather follow the word of man than the word of God. Well, we're in serious trouble when we do that. And that's where we are in our nation. We really have a lot of hang-ups. How do you change a nation? Well, I'm getting there. I only have one more point. We talked about knowledge without love, and I wish I could stay there longer, but time's gone. I want to talk about kinship without lordship. We're talking about the idols of freedom this morning. And I know this is going to step on some toes, but it's not intended. I want you to know something out of my heart. And I wish you did know my heart, because here's my heart. If you love someone, you tell them the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. So with God's help, I want to talk about something, and I want to make it very relevant for us. Because all of us, we want to claim the blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sin. But we don't want him telling us what we're to do. In fact, did you know preaching and teaching is not popular today? They've done away with Sunday school in many of the churches in our area. And pretty soon we'll be doing away with preaching. Kinship without lordship. Number one, loyalty. He says in verse 4 and 5 something that is most important for us as a nation. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered and sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in this world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us, he says, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we are in him, he says, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and he says, we by him. Church, Jesus Christ is Lord, or he's not Lord at all. We want the precious blood of Jesus applied to the doorpost of our life so the death angel will go by us and we'll not have to die and go to hell. We all want to go to heaven. We want the kinship of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, but we don't want to be told what to do. Let me give you, a good example. Teenagers. If you're a parent, or if you have had teenagers in your home at any point, and I'm speaking from experience, you know this firsthand. Often, as was the case of teenagers living in my home, they want to be independent while still living in your house. They don't want you telling them what to do, giving them instructions or expectations. Yet they do want you to pay the mortgage, put the gas in the car, buy their food, keep them comfortable with air conditioning and heat. They want their independence while depending. And that's chaos. It won't happen. It didn't happen in my house. It didn't. I let my kids know that I was daddy. And if you live in my house and you eat my food, you have to do what I say. And if you don't want to do that, you find somewhere else to live. He said, preacher, would you throw your kids out? Oh, I threw them all out. They're all gone. They grew up. Some woman or some other guy, you know. I mean, you know, what I mean by that is that some woman married my son, okay, and my daughter married a man. This day and time, you have to clarify that. But we have these precious freedoms. Now, I'm going to touch on something that's going to make you feel uncomfortable because this is where we are. I guess you could say where the seat meets the pew or the rubber meets the road. Here's where we are. We have the precious freedom of worship. You know, because I guess I've given my life to ministry, I have a great love. I did way before I came here for the military. Thank God for the men and women who would stand in the gap to give us this precious freedom of worship. But this freedom can be taken away, and I dare say we're allowing it. Let me read what God says in His Word. Instead of acting upon the light of knowledge that we have in God's Word, as it states in Exodus 23, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This was the priority of the Ten Commandments, I believe. Jesus, or God, was saying this to His people. Thou shalt have not other gods before me. Remember the Lord's day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all thy work. But on the seventh day is to be a day of rest, for it is the Lord's. I said, it is the Lord's. We act on our own oftentimes. We do as we please on the Lord's day. If it's convenient, we'll come to church. If nothing else is happening that we want to do, we'll go to church. What we are teaching, or rather what we're showing our children, who in the context of the Scripture are the weaker, is that it is right to put other things before God. Our love and loyalty belongs to Jesus Christ, He says, of whom are all things, and we're in Him. And again, I want to say, Exodus 23, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We want Jesus as Savior, but the fact is, we're not loyal to Him. Something comes up on Sunday morning, we're not going to give Him worship. We're going to go play ball. We're going to go, and it's nothing wrong with a vacation. But folks, I'm telling you something. I believe the reason we're seeing our freedoms taken away from us is because we're giving them away. We're no longer doing what God says in His Word. He says, 6 days, you do what you need to do, but give me one day of worship. That's what He says. And folks, God's not changed. You know, I think about this. It really does penetrate in my mind. Why is it that God blesses Chick-fil-A, Hobby Lobby in their business? Because they've honored God's Word. They honor God's Word. Oh, it's offended the world. People have got angry about Chick-fil-A being closed on Sunday. Yeah. But you know what? We need a day that we honor God. I mean, He said 6 days. You accomplish what you want to do. You do what you want to do. Go out there and enjoy. I believe I had a man tell me in my last church, he said, preacher, will there be ponds in heaven? I said, sure there will be. He said, I sure do love fishing. There's nothing wrong with fishing. There ain't nothing wrong with sports. I love it. I was out here with them yesterday enjoying. We have game on all the week during Vacation Bible School. But on the Lord's day, let's give Him the worship He's worthy of. Because we are His and He is ours and we're to be loyal to Him. And then lordship. How be there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat as it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for not, neither if we eat or are we better, neither if we eat not, we are the worse. You see, the Corinthians, there were some new Christians. They were the weaker. And I think of the children and young people. And listen, folks, they all are watching us. It's not so much what you say, it's what you do. And the question is Jesus Lord in your life and in your home? The word conscience here simply means to know with. It is used 32 times in the New Testament. It is the internal courtroom God has put within our hearts where our actions are judged and are either approved or condemned. Where Jesus is Lord, you know. God's given you a holy conscience, and you know in your heart what Jesus would do. Because He's Lord of your life. He's the owner and operator of your life. You don't have to second guess it. You have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Savior. I have that kind of kinship. But He's also Lord. He rules over me. I don't decide what I want to do without Him. Hello? I do what He says. And if you do what He says, what does He say He will do? He will honor that. He will bless that. Remember Peter? Peter had been brought up to consider certain things unclean according to the law, the Mosaic law. And when the sheet came down from heaven in his vision, and the Lord told Peter to arise and eat, Peter refused. And here's what Peter said, I'm reading it. Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. He calls him Lord, and at the same time, he's failing to obey him. That's where America is today. Basically, Paul's saying, don't make the meat your God. You don't worship meat. You worship God. But be patient with those who are weak that don't understand that. We've got the knowledge of the truth. We've come to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But be patient. And that's the last thing here, liberty. And I'm done. Liberty. But take heed lest any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block. To them that are weak. You see that? Verse 9. Now, it's not a question of it being right or wrong to eat meat. It is a concern for others. You have the liberty to eat the meat if you want to. But what about the weaker ones? I think about what we adults are saying to our children. I'm thankful because I grew up in a church like this, and it bothered me. I'm glad I don't see this happening here where people leave after Sunday school. But as a child, I honestly thought this as a young boy. Is worship not important? This is where Paul Jones was pastoring. It bothered Paul. Paul's a tremendous preacher. And we would average 500 to 600 in Sunday school. But it was amazing how many people, probably 25, 30, 40 people would leave after Sunday school. What does that say to the, and I was the weaker one. I was the young Christian. That said to me that worship was not important. I had a great preacher who preached the whole truth, the whole counsel of God. But you know what spoke to me most? The people that left after Sunday school. I remember one Sunday, and I grew up in a rural church, and I grew up on a tobacco farm. We had a burning bush experience. Someone had taken their cigarette, threw it in the burning bush. You know, I'm not going to say smoking a cigarette is going to lead you to hell, but it could offend a weaker brother. It could. It could. It could hurt that person. And by the way, here's been my principle for my life. And I've lived this, and you can ask my kids. If I didn't want my kids doing it, I didn't do it. I didn't want my kids learning to pull up porn on the computer, so I never did. Now, I'm not better than anybody else, but I'll tell you this. I thought this, if my kids can't look at it, I can't look at it. So I didn't go to a movie. I didn't. Didn't go to a movie that, you know what? I just refused to take my... You say, well, preacher, you're legalistic. No, here's the difference. I didn't use my freedom as a Christian to do as I pleased. I did what He pleased. And in my heart and in my conscience, I could hear God saying, if your kids can't go, you shouldn't go. If the kids don't, if you don't want your kids drinking, you shouldn't drink. There's a lot of questions about what you should or shouldn't do as a Christian. But here's the best verse, and this is a short sermon that I can use to sum it all up. And by the way, it always comes down to the heart. Here's the verse I want to leave with you. It's in Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now I'm done. But folks, I want to tell you something. If I've offended you today, please forgive me. I didn't intend to offend you. But I want to love you enough to tell you the whole truth of God. And the truth of God is, listen to me carefully, if you will honor God, if you would put Him first, the other things that you do in those 6 days will be blessed of Him. Your work, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, you're here today, but your work will go better. It will. I believe Chick-fil-A makes more money than most any fast food restaurant. You know, every time I go to Fayetteville, they're circled all the way around that business. Why has God favored that? Why has God favored that business? I'll tell you why. Because they've honored God. Are y'all listening to me? Church, we've got to get back to where our forefathers were. And I really believe God's called Kirk Cameron to make a difference. I want you to watch this little video before we give the invitation. This really, and this is just, oh, I'm just giving you a little, I'm giving you nothing right now. I hate it. I think he only introduces faith. But this is the matrix of liberty. To me, it is the Statue of Liberty. Because what this statue, and I hope I'm right, I think he says it, 180-some tons of granite, largest piece of granite on the face of the earth. Our forefathers left here. They put it there in Plymouth, Massachusetts, just in case we forgot who we are. Look up here. I think we forgot who we are as a people. We are one people under God. And we've got it on our currency. In God we trust. We best keep that. We best keep it. Trust in God. We're going to do that at this invitation, but I want you to watch this video real quick. It's only a couple minutes long.